that we're recording.
Stop laughing, this is erotic.
I'm on a new medication and you think it's making me hallucinate?
I would have been a Ted Bundy victim.
Yeah. I had no idea that so many people out there felt the same way I did. Now I want a pina colada.
An acquired taste.
Hello, we are an acquired taste podcast, the podcast for people who love to try natural home remedies, but know when things go just too far.
Yeah, we found one that went too far, and we're going to talk about it today, and I'm so excited.
Like Sahara Desert far.
Yeah.
Like North Pole, beyond where Santa lives far.
Yeah, like West New Jersey, too far. I'm Bethany.
I'm Kathleen.
I have a cold.
Yes, you do, you poor child.
This is day 8.
Do we need to get you a teacup full of whiskey?
Oh, I haven't tried the whiskey thing.
That's what Reese Witherspoon says will kill anything.
Really?
Yeah, go get it.
Tried everything. I was gargling salt water. I was spraying propolis down my throat.
Come again? Propolis?
It's like I don't know what it is. It's honey-based. It's a part of honey.
Okay.
It's a part of honey.
A molecule?
It's like a honey thing. And okay. That's supposed to be helpful. I've been drinking a lot of water. I've been coughing at night.
Do you need me to do a swift roundhouse kick to the throat?
Yes, would be amazing.
To dislodge whatever is in there?
Yeah.
Walker, Texas Ranger style.
This is the frustrating thing is that during the day, I'm fine.
Yeah.
And then starting around 3 o'clock, 3 to 5, I start to get feeling run down. And then by the time it's nighttime, I'm hack coughing like there is a small family of mollusks in my throat mm-hmm. that I am trying to dislodge. And I don't sleep well. And then I wake up at 7 when the cats wake me up and then I'm fine again. So it's just like, it's the worst.
What else is on the table today for this podcast?
We are going to talk about my brain, Kathleen, because it's messed up and I experienced this.
Well, I could have told you that.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
I experienced this like acutely and firsthand over the weekend. So we know now that I am in a relationship and this person that I'm in a relationship with stayed with me over the weekend because I was so sick.
Yeah.
And we thought that there was going to be
Oh, that's sweet.
It was really, really
You're
nice.
You're like in the honeymoon phase, but yeah. He still saw you with like boogers running down your face.
Kathleen, he saw me without makeup on. Like he's
the horror.
I was like, that's normally a reveal. It normally has to be like, I prepare you.
Yeah.
And then I say, okay, now I'm going to not wear makeup. And now here we are.
Yeah.
But this has just happened because I was
under the weather
and also like crying.
No,
it's
a big deal when the person you're dating sees you without your face on for the first time.
Yes. I don't know about you, Kathleen, but my eyelashes are blonde. And so my eyes disappear when I don't have eye makeup on and I have like acne scar. I'm just
you
like,
actually
I'm
just
a monster.
An egg face. Like, yeah. There's no defining detail there.
It is. It's like a white egg that you got nothing on.
So we're going to talk about your brain.
Oh, yes. We're going to talk about my brain.
And then we have the 2009 versus 2019 challenge. Wah, wah.
Wah, wah.
And some really strange medical stories that have been going on recently.
Yes. One specifically, Kathleen, that you found that I think we need to dare each other certain amounts of money to try.
No.
I'll do it for the proper amount of money.
This is not an episode of I Shouldn't Be Alive, okay?
But I'm just saying it might be fun. How was your weekend? Was it good? What'd you do?
It was actually really good. I was entertaining friends all weekend.
Like, were they over at your house?
They were over at my house, which is a big thing for me because, you know, I don't keep like a clean house. I'm pretty sure the last time Bethany came over, my underwear was still on the floor.
There were tarps. Actual, like you had been murdering bodies. There were tarps everywhere.
And when Bethany stayed over for dinner, we just sat in the living room on 3 chairs and a little side table. Like there's no furniture.
Everything, and we watched the R. Kelly show.
Everything was just true. I read this article recently. It was about this woman who lived in Vancouver for a short period of time.
Okay.
And she said in Vancouver, people just stop by whenever. You know, in America, you prepare for guests. At least
for days.
At least I just never have had that relationship where like friends would just ring the doorbell unexpectedly. And I want that. I really, truly want to be at the house where people can pop in for a cup of tea and talk to me about their problems or whatever's going on.
Yeah.
The woman in this article wrote, and I wish I had bookmarked it or saved it. She said, people in Vancouver just understand your house looks like what it looks like. They don't expect anything to be perfect. And if you're going to feed somebody, you feed them with whatever's in your cabinets.
Oh.
You like don't prepare for people to come over and they're okay with that.
That's sort of nice.
I had my friends over and I was like, come over. I just made a pot of soup. Does anybody need to be fed?
Which actually sounds way more fun than I am holding a fete. I have created a signature cocktail and please wear only white.
I wore no makeup. I just was kind of in my sweatpants and we just sort of chatted and sat on the floor on the couch and ate this pot of soup, which wasn't even something I would have prepared for guests in the first place. It was just all the vegetables in my fridge that were about to go bad that I threw into a pot with some broth.
That's so good. That's really fun. Mm-hmm. I want to be that house that people can just come in. I love that idea.
Yeah.
That the house is just
the
always open.
House.
My sister's house is that house.
Yeah.
Like my older sister and her husband, they have neighbors that are like their best friends. Their kids play with each other. My mom once went over to their neighbor's house and just sat on the porch. Like and ate food with them without
so
the
lovely
invitation. And they love it and it works so well for them. But then I think about like at any given moment in my house, I'm not wearing pants. I'm crying. Like I've literally probably just cried or I'm about to cry. So it's like, I don't know what you don't know what you're getting into.
Yeah.
It's a, there's a lot going
so
on.
So I should not ring your doorbell.
I mean,
whenever
you're always welcome to ring it, but I have absolutely had people text me and say, I'm in the area. What are you up to? And I've hidden as though they're going to be able to see in my windows. Like I don't, I just am not prepared.
Yeah.
But I love that. I love that idea, Kathleen.
The Vancouver people.
The Vancouver
They've
method.
Got it down.
Yes.
Also, our hotline, our acquired taste voicemail box has been on fire.
Is it lit, Kathleen?
It is so lit. People have been really leaving the most lovely notes for you because they're so excited that you have a boyfriend.
I love that this is like, because it would never happen. And if this is your first time listening to this podcast, it's not like I've been waiting for one. Like this just all sort of came out of the blue, which is why everyone is so shocked. But I'm very touched.
It's been years since Bethany has dated anybody.
Yes. And he's nice. And he's good.
Did you get a chance to watch the Fyre Festival documentary on Netflix over the weekend?
I watched the first half of the Hulu one where they scooped Netflix.
Yeah.
And the first half of that was really entertaining. Did you watch the Netflix one?
So I watched only the Netflix one.
Out of solidarity?
Yeah. No,
I just get like done dirty.
Yeah. They both, Hulu and Netflix, both released the same documentary essentially within days of each other. But I actually hear that the takes on the subject are pretty different. And if you guys don't remember, the Fyre Festival was this music festival that was happening in the Bahamas in like April 2017.
Yeah.
And it just went to absolute crap.
It was all social media influencer based. Yeah. And I remember the weekend it was going on or whenever I started seeing on Twitter people posting pictures of the meals because it was supposed to be private.
Luxury.
Yeah, luxury private yachts swimming with models. And it was like styrofoam containers with a sandwich and some mustard on it.
Yeah.
And they were saying, like, this is not even camp quality food. Like, it just went to hell.
So the guy who was behind all of it is currently in prison.
Oh, is he?
Yes. Oh, did I give something away?
No. I think everyone knows.
I think everybody knows. Yeah. Anyway, if you haven't seen it yet, man, everybody's talking about it on the internets. Go check it out.
Like, and Ja Rule got involved with it. Poor Ja.
Some of the tweets at the time were like, every time a rich kid gets scammed, an angel gets its wings. I mean, because this was a festival that you were paying thousands upon thousands of dollars to go to.
Yeah.
When I shell out anything over $100 for a concert, I'm like, well, I'm a big spender.
Yeah. Like if I pay $12 for a salad and that salad isn't exactly the way I want it to be, I'm ready to set the place
Hell
on fire.
Yeah.
Right? Imagine the worst kind of bros at an Atlantic City pool party on a Sunday morning. Like it was just douchebags
Not
and
my
really
scene.
Rich kids. Yeah. So I think there is a certain amount of glee
in watching it. Yeah,
apart.
Absolutely. It's freezing here in New York City today.
Yeah. How is it where you are? We'll pause for your answer. Oh, man.
Oh, wow.
That sounds interesting.
Mm-hmm.
Hope you're enjoying that.
I was walking up to Kitchen Studio NYC to record this episode today with Bethany. I literally saw a rat scurrying across the street for a warmer hole.
Did he have a little scarf on?
He did, yes.
A little scarf, little mittens.
And then he bowed and said, good day, madame, and ran off. And rats in New York City typically don't come out during the day.
No.
So that's when you know something is really amiss. It's like 10 degrees here today.
Yeah, it's chilly. I walked down the street this morning and immediately regretted that decision and like turned around and came back.
No. Were you wearing socks, Bethany?
No, of course not. Come on.
Were you just wearing flat, like little flats?
Yes.
Bethany!
Here's the problem, Kathleen. My sock drawer is not a drawer. It's a chest and it's in my closet.
Mm-hmm.
And nothing is organized. And so in order to get socks, I have to move the clothes aside, open up the chest and start digging. And yeah. I just don't have that in me. I don't have it within me to dig. Socks aren't just, they're not going to happen.
At least you have a chest. I just have a huge laundry basket dedicated to only socks.
I mean, it's at some point when something has been in something for long enough, that becomes the official yeah. place for that thing.
There's like 75 pairs of socks without matches in there.
We were living the same hard, difficult life. Kathleen, your brother is moving. Yes. Hot Bert.
Stop talking about my brother.
Your brother's a good looking. Some would say your brother is sexy.
My brother needs a new bed.
The sexy one?
And he. Because every time I sleep over his house, it's like. And he doesn't even have a bed frame. It's just on this metal whatever. Oh. I'm like, you're an adult. Do yourself a favor and just do an upgrade. Yeah. When you take the ladies over, it'll impress them.
Yeah, and all the ladies, because your brother's so hot.
And that is why I'm so excited that we have partnered up with Joybird, this amazing furniture company. They've been on my radar forever.
Joybird, you get one-of-a-kind furniture that's made to your unique taste. So you can turn all of those ideas that you have on your Pinterest board into reality with hundreds of styles and options. So you can get mid-century modern to contemporary classics, and then you can customize that furniture with different fabric choices, from leather to plush velvets, tons of different colors. And Kathleen, you were saying you love the fabric options too.
Yes, because they have a wide range of kid and pet friendly fabric options, which actually is one of the most important things that I look for when I'm buying furniture, because even though I don't have kids, I spill. I'm a spilly spill.
And you have pets.
I'm Spilly Spilly Nancy, and I have pets. And their colors, oh my God, the teals and the yes. chartreuses. And oh,
I don't know what chartreuse is.
I want to make love to all of Joybird's chartreuse options.
Yeah. I mean, if you want like a couch that is brown, you can have it. But if you also want a couch that is hot pink, you can make that happen too.
And their prices are very affordable.
Yeah.
Like, don't spend your money on discount furniture that's just going to fall apart. Go to Joybird, get what you want, and get a quality piece of furniture.
Yeah, it's handcrafted. Each Joybird piece is made by hand with care and precision. They use high quality hardwood and responsibly sourced materials to fit your exact specifications. Plus, there's a limited lifetime warranty included. So you're not getting crappy furniture. You're getting gorgeous, well-made furniture at a great price.
Oh, I just love that gray tufted headboard yes, that I'm looking at right now. Oh, so glamorous.
I bet your hot brother would like that one too.
I'm going to murder you.
So see how Joybird is revolutionizing online furniture shopping. Create the furniture that brings you joy today at joybird.com/taste.
Wait, can I pause for a second? Look at this pink couch. It's the Breyer sectional.
I want a pink velvet
couch. It's like this really beautiful millennial pink color. Okay, I'm continue.
Again, go to joybird.com/taste and receive an exclusive offer for 25% off your first order by using the code TASTE. So again, go to joybird.com/taste. Use the code TASTE to get 25% off your first order at Joybird.
Oh, it's just all so damn cute.
All right, Kathleen, I need to know if I'm the only one who does this. Feel free to let me know if I am.
So, I most certainly will.
Now that I'm in this new relationship and I found myself feeling happy, mm-hmm. which is a feeling that I am not accustomed to.
You're like, what is this alien inside of my head?
Yes.
Oh, that's happiness.
It's happiness, and I'm from a family, a lineage, where if something good happens, it's because something bad is about to happen, right?
Okay.
Like, my grandmother firmly believes that you can't get too excited about something because it means something bad is going to happen.
That is the saddest damn thing I've ever heard of my life.
Yeah, it's super like Norwegian farmer stoic. Don't smile, because the smile means that the fates are going to be like, oh, you're getting cocky.
Yeah.
Now we're going to make your husband die, right?
Oh, shoot.
I have a hard time being really happy.
Okay.
Over the weekend, Dennis was over taking care of me. And because I was sick, like, we're not doing anything.
Dennis, your boyfriend.
Dennis, my partner, my hot torsoed partner. we're taking this relationship super slowly on purpose.
Yeah.
So we're doing a lot of talking,
mm-hmm.
which is strange.
Important. That's important.
Yeah. We're saving conversations to have in person. Instead of texting each other everything we're thinking,
yeah.
we'll say like, wait, don't tell me, hold on to it. So when I see you, you can tell me, so that we don't like run out of things to talk about.
It's kind of like you're doing a podcast with him, because we do that the same thing to each other.
Yes, yes.
We start to tell each other stories yeah. and we're like, wait, actually, let's do this on the podcast.
Save it for the pod. several times over the weekend, I had total meltdowns where we would just be talking and then I would just burst into tears, or we were watching a movie and I just burst into tears. And it's because I assumed that he was going to leave me because of something very small. And like I had done these tiny little mental leaps from like A to B to C that had never actually happened that led me to believe in the moment that he was going to break up with me. Then I would just burst into tears and he would say, oh, did you just break up with me in your head again? And I'm like, yes. Or when he came over on Friday, I hadn't seen him for a few days and I was like, oh, I probably don't even find him attractive anymore. That's going to suck when I have to break up with him and it's going to ruin everything. It's going to break his heart. I'm going to feel terrible. This is all happening in like a 2 second span.
So you're overthinking things.
Constantly.
To the max.
Yes.
So this is kind of like, my friend was telling me the story where she had just gotten back from this amazing date with a guy from the night before and she's like, and he hasn't texted me all day.
Yeah.
And like, pause. You're overthinking it. Chances are, he's busy. He had to go into work. He's visiting his parents. Like, who knows? Just because he's not texting you doesn't mean he's stopped liking you.
And that's what it is. I don't necessarily feel that level of insecurity because I feel like we're on sort of a place now where we understand we're both in it.
Yeah.
But because my brain doesn't know what to do with all of that security, my brain is like, let's cut down some weight-bearing beams. Like, let's make sure this caves in.
Mm-hmm.
And so one of the things that happened was... he hasn't slept in 3 nights because my coughing was keeping him up.
Oh, man.
So
wait, he was here in this apartment for 3 nights in a row?
Yes.
And he didn't go home once?
No.
Wait, really?
We didn't have sex.
And you didn't have sex?
No, I can't. I'm so sick and we're taking it slow.
Interesting.
It was really lovely, actually.
All right, proceed. Yeah. Proceed.
He hadn't slept and he was so tired that he couldn't sleep, if you've ever been that tired.
Yes.
And so he took a sleep aid and he doesn't take things, but for the first time he took like a sleep aid so he could sleep. I didn't hear from him this morning for like 3.5 hours past when I texted him. And instead of thinking that makes sense, he hasn't slept in 3 days and also he took a sleep aid, I was writing his eulogy because I had been the one to suggest that he take a sleep aid. Hence, I was the one who had inadvertently murdered him.
Uh-huh.
And then I had to tell his parents how so sad I was. And it wasn't anything I'd ever intended. And then I had already given my speech to the judge at my sentencing for manslaughter.
This all happened. Well, when you need to turn yourself in, I'll take you down to the precinct.
Thank you. Mm-hmm. Am I the only one who does this or is this a thing?
No, it's
a thing. Did you do this with Neil?
I can't say that I did, but I do this with work.
Do you?
Yes.
How so?
If anybody's like, hey, can we chat tomorrow? Boss or my boss's boss or anything. I'm like, that's it. I'm fired.
Yep.
I've done this multiple times where I clean out my desk before I go to have that conversation with somebody.
So that HR can't take it away from you.
So HR can't take away all of the junk and the makeup and the bottles of wine that I've collected over the years.
Yeah. Don't take my wine, HR. You know everything else.
I do that all the time. Work is like a particularly, that one's hard. Or a friend that's like, hey, can we talk?
I think can we talk is really, really damaging.
Can we just erase that from the human dictionary, the phrase, can we talk?
Or can we have a happy meeting would be good.
Exactly.
Let's have a happy meeting.
Can we have a happy meeting?
Yeah.
I find that to be much more appropriate.
Yes. And then like if it's a bad meeting, can you just grab me? Hey, do you have a second? Then it's just like 2 seconds that I'm going to freak out on your way to your office versus telling me like, hey, do you have time later today at 3 p.m.?
Yes.
And right now it's 8:30 in the morning.
Or when your boss has an assistant and the assistant's like, hey, do you have time to talk to so-and-so tomorrow at 11 a.m.? And you're like, what?
Now I have all night to panic.
I've literally spent one night panicking and then called the assistant at like 11:30. And I was like, you have to tell me what this is about.
Yeah. Did they say?
They did. Yeah. Because they could see that the meltdown was starting to affect my cognitive ability.
Always make friends with the assistant.
Always.
Because this project that I'm trying to sell right now, the assistant is leaving to go to a different project.
Uh-huh.
And I got an email and he was like, just so you know, I've always been rooting for you. I liked him already.
Yeah.
So I'm like, okay, I knew I had an ally. He's an ally. Like, make allies.
When Bethany says project that she's trying to sell, she's being like a little bit demure about it. She wrote the script and people are interested in it. So let's just leave it at that.
Just keep your fingers crossed.
So overthinking. It's
overthinking.
I would take a pill if it would erase all my overthinking.
It's so damaging. And you do it at night and you stare up at the ceiling. And yeah, and I just want to know, like, from you listening, will you just tweet us how many steps into the future did you take from a piece of information that you didn't know for sure? Like, I didn't know for sure if Dennis was just asleep, but I had already...
Or if he was dead.
And I had already, within 3.5 hours, made my statement to the judge and had accepted my fate of going behind bars for life for inadvertently killing my boyfriend.
At least you're prepared.
I felt like I handled it really nobly. I said to the judge, I was like, look, I fully accept whatever judgment you're about to hand down because nothing you can give to me will hurt me as much as the amount of hatred I feel towards myself for forever ruining the entire family's lives by accidentally taking their son's life. I simply was trying to do the right thing, but I see now that that was a problem and I will never, ever forgive myself. My life is in your hand, Judge. And I was like, gonna be really disappointed if I only got house arrest.
So repeat after me. You wake up in the morning. You shake out your shoulders. You say, I, Bethany Watson.
I, Web Girl Kathleen.
Will not do.
Any overthinking.
Today.
Amen. That feels good.
Praise be.
What do we know for sure?
Under his eye.
What does that mean?
Is that
a Harry Potter reference?
No. You know I don't like that Harry Potter stuff.
I don't know what that is.
It's Margaret Atwood's.
Oh, is it from Handmaid's
Tale? It's from The Handmaid's Tale.
Oh.
And I don't even know if it's from the book. I think it's just from the TV show, Under His Eye. They say, praise be, Under His Eye.
Oh, heavens. I like that.
So I love when somebody writes praise be on an Instagram post because it sounds like they're really religious, but they're just sort of like making a reference to The Handmaid's Tale.
Yeah.
And then a reference beyond that, which is, I don't have to explain that. So there's this thing going around the internet now and it is driving me bananas.
What is it?
It's that 2009 versus 2019 hashtag 10-year challenge meme. No.
Why do you hate it so much?
Because I was hotter in 2009 than I am in 2019 and I don't want anyone to know that I've glowed down. Way down.
You have not glowed down.
Well, you're very kind, but I have glowed down and I'm not posting any pics from 2009.
It is a rough thing, and I think that people are only posting it if they have glowed up.
It's kind of like a look at me, look how I haven't aged, or look how much weight I've lost, or look how much hotter I am now. And it's like, bitch, stop.
Yeah, I don't even know what I was doing in 2009.
I'm not interested in 2009, your photo from your sorority, where, yeah, you look really shitty. You don't look good in that photo in 2009. And I'm not going to comment like, wow, you look so good now.
Yeah, the only comments are either like, wow, you got hot, or wow, time doesn't touch you, which is a lie, by the way.
It's a lie. Time touches everybody, and it's called Facetune.
So what do you think about Mariah Carey's take on it, where she just posted side by side of the same picture and then said that time is not something I acknowledge?
Yes, I love Mariah Carey. She deserves a Nobel Prize for that, glow up meme.
I mean, and it's still going around. I don't know. I assume that memes take like 3 days and then we've all gone out of it.
So it's 5.2 million people have participated in this meme, according to Forbes. And I think that's just the Facebook number. So they're saying that actually this challenge, this 10-year challenge, is a scam.
What?
Have you read about this?
No.
So started on Facebook. Some people did a little backtracking and to see where the origins of this trend was. And it's on Facebook. And some people are saying that Facebook is using this this quote unquote meme trend to do data mining with facial recognition. Dun, dun, dun.
Kathleen, this is what I'm telling you. I said you can't trust the robots. Oh my gosh.
I trust the robots. I'm not really planning on committing any heists anytime soon.
Yeah, but you also need to have your freedom because the second you give an inch in your freedom, all of a sudden we're living in a police state where they're scanning your retinas before you're allowed to buy something at the Gap.
You're not incorrect. You're not incorrect about that. I mean, honestly, I wish somebody would stop me from buying matching cardigan sets.
And straight leg jeans.
Not a good look for me.
Wait, so... And CAPTCHA, like when you have to type in and prove you're not a robot, that's like a way of getting us to do work for them, right? Identifying things in pictures or numbers that they can't identify.
You know, I never thought about that before, but I always get it wrong. I always have to do the CAPTCHA like 25 times.
If you're telling me like point out the things that are storefronts and like something is a blurry photo, I don't know if it's a storefront or wrong, but I'm always incorrect. And then I never get to prove I'm not a robot.
Sometimes I even question myself, am I a robot? Like, do I not even know that I'm a robot?
What do you think your robot purpose on this earth would be? What were you made to do?
Mm. to be late all the time.
To keep people on their toes.
I think the experiment with my certain brand of robot is people who are late all the time and to see how others react to tardiness.
Your social experiment.
What is your robot purpose?
I think it's to help others learn how to soothe someone because I'm always freaking out.
Gotcha.
And I think it's good. It's good for the people around me to know that they're doing fine by me freaking out. Do you need to charge your phone? I just saw your battery.
Oh, no. I'm at 20%. I like to live on the edge.
Oh, my God. Stresses. Do you at least put on low battery mode?
No. Kathleen, why? Like, Bethany, it's fine.
No, it's not. It's cold. Your battery's going to be sucked dry.
If I walk in the door and it's 2%, I have succeeded that day.
You're like my friend Jeremy. He will leave with 1% and refuse anyone's external charger.
Yeah, exactly. It's called living on the edge.
Yeah, but 1% today isn't like 1% used to be, Kathleen, back in 2009.
I take chances. Actually, the best 2009 versus 2019 meme that I saw was the classic Nokia phone, 2009, 100% battery, 2019, 99% battery.
I want a flip phone. Are those back yet?
No.
And aren't they coming?
Hopefully they never come back. I really hope. No, I like these little mini TVs that we carry in our pockets.
I like a flip phone because then when you're mad, you snap it closed. Like sassy. Like, snap close. That's how you hang up on someone.
Okay, Blair Waldorf.
Like, I'm so done with you. You spin around in your capris and you like slap it closed.
Your periwinkle capris.
Yeah, I do.
I was watching, I don't know if you've ever seen this movie, The Wedding Planner last night.
Is that the
Jennifer Lopez and Matthew McConaughey.
Vehicle. Yeah, okay.
Matthew McConaughey before he learned how to comb his comb over.
Wait, he has a comb over?
Okay, he has significantly less hair in this movie than he does now. I think he's had hair plugs. Oh. I mean, and listen, if you get hair plugs, like that's, I'm cool with that. I have no judgment on body augmentation. Like do what you have to do. But I'm just saying that movie was made a long time ago.
Wow, I had no idea.
And he had significantly less hair than he does now. But anyway.
I've never seen it, but I know, I think everyone can draw the picture right now. It's J-Lo in like a periwinkle dress, like looking up at the sky with her head in her hand. And then Matthew McConaughey like photoshopped somewhere in that picture.
The whole movie, she's just in different periwinkle clothing. And if she's not wearing periwinkle or robin's egg, the person next to her in the scene is wearing periwinkle or robin's egg.
Is that some leitmotif within the film? Like, is there a meaning to periwinkle?
And I started thinking very analytically about the movie as I was watching it. I'm like, is this what, you know how when people have Instagram aesthetic?
Yes.
I was like, is this Instagram aesthetic before Instagram existed? It was like the movie aesthetic where it was the same color theme throughout the whole movie. You didn't realize it because people weren't thinking about that kind of stuff back then because online, you know, identities didn't really exist.
Yeah, we weren't as fully aware of like the visual.
What year was
style.
That? I think that was.
Was that before or after Made in Manhattan?
Made in Manhattan is also a very good one.
Yes, here it is. She's wearing a periwinkle dress with her head in her hand.
2001 was the release date.
Damn.
So the makeup in that movie, before you said that you weren't wearing any makeup, the makeup in that movie on all of the women is essentially nude makeup. Icy lips, icy eyelids, icy shimmer on the cheeks. There's no color on anybody's faces. Bronzer, like, I guess didn't exist in 2001.
Oh, I cannot handle a shimmery nude lip.
That like whole shimmer face, essentially just a face full of silver shine. That was such a thing in 1999 to 2002.
Yeah, people would absolutely just put glitter on their bodies.
Yeah. I mean, I did.
I did too.
I had special glitter that just went on my bosom.
Yeah.
When I was wearing a low cut top and I wanted a boy to look at my bosom.
Yeah. And that was different than like, we have like a body sheen now where it sort of is really subtle. But this was straight up chunks of glitter that you would shove down your shirt and in between your bosoms.
Yeah.
It's crazy watching these like watching old movies and makeup or just watching movies where the makeup is really noticeable.
Mm-hmm.
Like you watched The Chilling Adventures of Sabrina, right?
Yes. The makeup in that movie or in that series rather, some of them really look so orange,
it's
right?
It's really bad, especially the first episode or two.
Yeah.
The aunts, especially like the British aunt,
mm-hmm.
her makeup was really bad. It was so noticeable.
Yes.
I don't know if it was lit wrong or what was going on, but it was not good.
And Sabrina's boyfriend, Harvey, too, sometimes his face looks orange.
Yeah.
Now, I'm wondering if, and I went back and looked at regular photos of that actress and that actor, and they're just like regular Caucasian, non-orangey looking people.
Yeah.
I'm wondering if after the fact, and because I understand a little bit of photo editing and changing color in video, they decided that they wanted the show to have a certain look.
Oh.
And it is very complicated to change the overall tone of a piece of film and then go back in and remove one specific face, you know, to not be as saturated or as darkened as the rest of it. It's very, very, very complicated.
Yeah.
And it takes a lot of time and money because you have to go frame by frame by frame of every scene that that person's in where they look a little bit orange. So I'm wondering if they were just like, F it.
That's a really, I hadn't thought about that, but you're right. Cause that show definitely has it's very an dark. Aesthetic.
Yeah.
So they probably wanted to enhance some sort of the saturation.
I bet season two will be different and that orange will be taken away. It just looks like somebody put a lot of bronzer on somebody because there are a lot of lights and then they decided that they wanted to take the dark tone down a little bit and the oranges were highlighted when they took it down.
I'd have been so pissed. I would have put out like a press release saying, I am not this color. I know how to do my makeup. Because they didn't blend stuff either. Like her eyeshadow was all over the way. Yeah. What the hell?
I know.
And I felt so bad. I mean, she's making all this money from a show, but still, she's a victim.
She's a
victim.
Okay, so I talk about being in book club all the time.
Yeah, it's your number one social event.
It's my pride and joy of my social calendar.
It's good.
But the secret is that I actually don't read the books, but I listen to them.
Yes, you listen to them on Audible.
On Audible. So Audible has decided to partner up with an Acquired Taste podcast, and I am so excited.
We have the best partners.
It's because I use Audible in my everyday life, like every day.
I remember one thing that you said is that you were on your way to book club, but you hadn't finished the book. So you listened to it at 1.5 times to get it done faster.
Yes, it's so easy. You have it right on your phone, your app. You download the book when you want to listen to it. When you're done, you erase it from your library. It hooks up to my car. I listen to things when I'm driving, to things when I'm walking. Right now, I'm listening to Beartown by Frederick Backman. I'm also still in the middle of Becoming by Michelle Obama. And one that was a New York Times bestseller for 2019 is Girl, Wash Your Face by Rachel Hollis.
Yeah, I've seen a lot of people reading that.
Or You. I listened to You by Carolyn Kepnes. That's that show that's on Netflix right now.
The one about the stalker dude.
Yes, with Dan Humphrey from Gossip Girl.
That looks really
Penn
good.
Penn Badgley.
It's really nice too because you as a podcast listener understand that it's nice to have someone speaking into your ear. It's nice to hear stories told to you. We've been doing this since we were little kids and since time began, telling each other stories, right? So Audible is just bringing that to the next level. So with Audible, you get access to an unbeatable selection of audiobooks, including bestsellers, motivation, mysteries, thrillers, memoirs, and more. And they have the largest selection of audiobooks on the planet. And now with Audible Originals, the selection has gotten even more custom with content made for members. So Audible members can choose 3 titles every month, 1 audiobook and 2 Audible Originals that you can't hear anywhere else. Audible members also get access to exclusive audio fitness programs to start the new year off on the right foot.
Woot woot.
Woot woot. You can listen on any device, anytime, anywhere, either at the home, at the gym, on your commute. If you're in a business meeting and you're trying to look interested and you want to have your earbuds in, but like behind your hair and then your hair's over them so they can't tell that you have your earbuds in.
Yeah. You know, the Audible app even connects to my Fire Stick on my TV so I can listen to the books like in my bedroom when I'm making the bed and cleaning the laundry or whatever.
Audible, the most inspiring minds, the most compelling stories, the best place to listen. So we want to help you get started. Get a 30-day trial when you go to audible.com/taste, or you can text the word taste to 500-500 and listen for a change. So again, there's 2 ways you can do this. The first way, you can go to audible.com/taste, or you can text the word taste to the number 500-500.
I'd rather give up TV before I'd give up Audible.
And for me, it's like Friends.
Your friends are on the Audible app.
Kathleen, before the show, you were giggling over on your corner of Kitchen Studio NYC, and you said you were going to save it for the pod. So what were you giggling about?
Oh, God, this is so gross, but also so fascinating. We've all done a little bit of self-diagnosing, correct?
Oh, yeah. And oh, yes.
Self-surgery, where you hack something off of your foot or arm or face.
Yeah, absolutely. Constantly on the regular. It's cheaper than a copay.
So there was this headline this week in the Huffington Post. Man hospitalized after injecting own semen to treat back pain. Doctors in Ireland didn't see this coming.
No, get it?
A new study.
Get it? Get it? Did you get it?
I get it. A new study published in the Irish Medical Journal recounts a case of a 33-year-old man who was hospitalized after repeatedly injecting himself with semen to relieve chronic back pain.
Do they? I have two follow-up questions.
It's like, dude, you're jerking off, and that's why you're feeling relief. Okay, like I'm not a medical doctor, but I'll tell you that's why you're feeling a little bit better at that point in time.
Where do we think he was injecting it? And then two. What made him think that this was what he should do? Do they have that information?
Yes. The man's handmade remedy was reportedly discovered when he showed up at the doctor's office complaining of severe back pain.
But why?
While examining the patient, the physician noticed that the man's right arm appeared swollen and inflamed.
Okay.
The explanation the man gave was one that the doctor likely never expected.
I put my jizz in it.
The patient disclosed that he intravenously
with a syringe
injected his own semen as an innovative method to treat back pain
into his arm. But it's for his back.
He reportedly had purchased hypodermic needles online and been injecting himself once a month for the past 18 months.
Oh my gosh.
He said he hurt his back while lifting a heavy object and gave himself 3 doses according to the study. So turns out that the semen reportedly entered the man's bloodstream and muscles, but also an air bubble entered the man's bloodstream. And that's why he was feeling pain and he was hospitalized.
Ooh, it's an embolism, right?
Yeah, something like that, yeah. Okay, translation. Do not inject yourself with anything without a doctor's approval, including your own semen.
I wonder, that's a certain level of narcissism to be like, you know what? Not only am I smart enough to figure this out myself, but my semen is magical enough that it can fix my back problem.
What kind of dark web message board was this a-hole reading?
You're right. It was probably something on Reddit.
It was some sort of masculinity, men rule the world message board where... your semen will cure your ailments.
Look, I think if you are dumb enough to believe that your semen can cure your ailments, go ahead and just keep trying that out.
Jerk off into your hand and rub it. It cures acne too, so you should put it on your face.
Yeah, it's good for your hair.
Rosacea, it's good for your hair. Just rub it all over your body and let's see how that works out for you.
See what happens. I'm also like frightened that you can just order syringes online. I mean, I know people need them for like diabetes and things like that, but it's still like, I would want to know for sure that like it's clean.
Yeah, I mean,
like from a reputable dealer.
Like, do you go on Amazon and order hypodermic needles?
Let's look.
Go ahead.
You
can order all sorts of weird things from Amazon.
I mean,
I don't buy makeup on Amazon because I'm afraid of where it's coming from. You never really know if it's from the source.
Yeah, this is true.
I always just go to Sephora.com and get it from there. Or I go to CVS and where I buy the majority of my makeup.
Wet and wild, baby.
Hell yeah.
Hypodermic needle. I'm sure it's common because people do need to like inject themselves.
Yeah.
But I'm just saying, like, if you have some laying around, maybe don't put semen in them.
No. Oh, Lord. I mean, does this guy have like a mother or a girlfriend or like a
roommate? No, I promise you, no.
Who stopped him from doing this?
No.
I would pay money to see a picture of this guy. I just want to know what he looks like.
They don't have a picture? Do they shave it to say his name?
No.
Oh, come on.
It's a medical journal. It's like a real thing. They don't.
Okay, I'm going to see if it's anywhere else. Man injects self with semen for back pain. Oh, it's everywhere.
Oh, the guy's name is everywhere? Can we
see
his photo?
Is, let's see. I wonder if he's embarrassed or if he's just bummed that it didn't work.
I would be embarrassed.
I mean, I would hope.
It's embarrassing.
I do like that the doctors had a sense of humor. The doctors wrote the report titled Semenly Harmless Back Pain. Was the name of their paper. The unusual presentation of a subcutaneous abscess. You got to keep it fun.
Doctors are funny too.
And this one says the method does not appear to have worked. Yeah, it doesn't say his name.
Oh, man. I'm ashamed to be Irish at this point in time, just for a moment.
What part of you, what percentage of you is Irish?
Like 75% or something.
That's a pretty large percentage.
Quite a large percentage. Okay, so this story leads me into another medical story.
Can't wait.
There's this thing that keeps popping up in my feed and makes me wonder who's been messing with my algorithm.
Yeah, because it's based on what you yourself search for.
Yeah. So
Like that like that dude who was like, I'm getting a lot of gay porn ads on Facebook. Thanks, Obama. And people were like, it's based on what
it's
you search.
It's based on what
it's
you search.
It's not Obama.
There's this thing that has been popping up everywhere. It's called urine therapy.
Okay. I've never heard of it. Blech. So it's not been popping up everywhere, but it seemingly has for you.
I swear I'm not Googling urine therapy.
Everywhere I look, I get urine therapy ads.
There's a trend that's saying that drinking your own urine is a cure-all for your ailments.
No.
Yes. There's even, Bethany, there's even Facebook groups for people who believe this with thousands and thousands of people in them.
Okay. Okay, so let's not give the name
of the group
because I don't want to shame them, but show me the name of the group.
See right there. Okay, hold on. There's 6,674 members in this group at the time that this article was written on January 14th.
It is a closed group. There are three questions you have to answer to get admitted.
Oh, what are the questions?
I really want to get admitted, but I don't know if I can answer these questions truthfully. Okay, so question number one.
Would you drink your urine?
Please confirm you undertake to respect members' privacy. You will not screenshot or copy anything from the group without permission of the author.
Okay.
I don't know if I can make that promise. But you have to like write out your answer. Number two, confirm that you accept full responsibility for your decisions and actions and do not hold group admins or members responsible regardless of any advice. Of course. Is there anything you would like to tell us to add to your application?
You should say, I am thinking about drinking my own urine.
Drinking
on the fence.
On the fence, period.
Currently suffering from a cold.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, there you go.
Okay.
People who believe in urine therapy believe that urine does not only carry antigens, it also carries antibodies. And they think that when they drink their own urine, the antibodies will return back into the body to boost the immune system.
What's an antigen?
I have no idea.
Antigen. Thank God we have the internet. Otherwise, we'd be stupid. A toxin or other foreign substance. Oh, okay, great.
Okay, so they're both good things and bad things in your pee. It also goes to Instagram.
Whoa, they have an Instagram presence?
If you Google hashtag urine therapy, all sorts of weird looking mason jars filled with yellow liquids come up. This post says, urine is not a waste product. Aside from the fact that no one in history has ever died from drinking their own urine, urine is a snapshot of all the beneficial substances in the blood. The liver removes all the toxins from the blood and then sends this purified blood into the kidneys, which regulates. Okay, I'm gonna stop reading right there because it's BS. It's absolute BS.
This is horrifying. I'm on their Instagram page. Oh, urine fast. A dude went on a urine fast.
Oh.
And one person commented, very brave. No limits. Star picture.
Stop. I hate the internet. I hate it.
Oh my gosh. Someone else commented, yeah, that's going to be a no for me, dog.
Oh.
Whoa, gosh. And then people, yeah, mason jars, beer glasses.
I wonder if there's a medical Facebook group for people who don't use floss. They just use their hair.
You taught me to do that, didn't you?
Yeah, in a pinch, if you need a piece of floss.
Yeah.
It's like kind of gross if you have a lot of product in your hair. Like, you use a little bit of mousse that morning.
But like, if you're at an event or something and you have something in your teeth and you cannot get it out and a piece of paper doesn't work.
Yeah.
Absolutely. In a pinch, your hair.
Yeah.
It works really well. I can't handle this. These are
people who do a disgrace to biology. I'm just going to say that. We're probably going to get emails from urine therapy believers. I'm okay with that.
Look.
If you want to change my mind, by all means, try your best.
Change my mind? Yeah. I know nothing about urine. All I know is that the goal is for it to be clear and that it isn't something that you want in your carpet. And that if it's electric yellow, it means that you're losing vitamins. Like you're taking too many vitamins. And so that's why it looks like a highlighter yellow.
I wonder if the same people that drink their urine would also eat their own poo.
I mean, I don't know. Is that medicinal benefits, Kathleen? We don't know. There is a thing. There are people who, there's something about like ingesting someone else's poo in a capsule form.
Stop it. No.
No, like if it contains certain bacterial gut that your gut doesn't have.
No, eat a yogurt. Eat a yogurt.
Jamie Lee Curtis tells me.
That's where you get your probiotics.
There is something about that, like some gut bacteria that some people don't have, so they ingest healthy poo capsules.
That's a no for me, dog. That's a no for me.
Would you, if you found yourself on Mars alone,
okay,
would you poo on your potato that you got.
Yes, like Matt Damon in that movie.
Would you Matt Damon?
Absolutely, yes. Yeah. Yeah, because then you can like peel a potato and like the poo layer comes off. I'm fine with that. That's cool.
The problem is that it's a limiting resource at some point because the you know, the less you have to eat, the less you're going to poo until you got no more poo.
Yeah.
You don't poo no more.
Good thing I'm not an astronaut.
That's the first good thing.
And I'm just somebody who lives in the suburbs of New York City.
Can you imagine being an astronaut and then you get to the point where you're like strapped in and you're like, oh, this is not what I actually really should just be an accountant.
Yeah, you're like,
I've made a major mistake.
Why did I get my PhD in
astrophysics?
Astrophysics, yeah. To poo on a potato so I can survive.
You have to. I wonder what secret training. Like, do they have to learn how to grow fruit with their own body liquids? Like, do they have to learn how to, like, do their own LASIK surgery?
I would be interested in that part of being an astronaut. And the floating part, that seems pretty cool.
I would be interested in the part where they're like, look, you're not going to run into aliens. But here's what you should know.
Here's what you should, like,
in case you do.
Do you think... Oh my God. I never thought about that before.
It's like a real thing. Mm. I know. I watched the worst movie this weekend. It's called Bob Lazar.
What?
And it's this documentary.
I thought you were going to say The Wedding Planner.
It's about this dude with a tan. It's called Bob Lazar. And then there's like a colon and then another title. This dude who claims he worked at Area 51 and like all of these things that he knew.
Yeah.
And his stories kind of check out. And I know that this is like second week in a row I'm talking about conspiracy theories, but like, welcome.
I love conspiracy theories.
And he's a pretty good looking dude.
Yeah.
Like back in the 70s.
I mean, people who are good looking believe what they say because they're always telling the truth.
They are. And like, he was charming and he had his great lips and he's aged quite well. He looks like Stephen King now, like a svelte Stephen King.
Hmm.
And he has like all of this proof that he worked in Area 51 and knew what sort of technology the U.S. had that we had gotten from aliens and we were trying to recreate it, but we didn't have the same energy source. And he was like, why would I lie? This has ruined my life.
I am dying to know.
Yeah, it's
Netflix.
It's boring.
If you are listening to this podcast right now, your next documentary needs to be about Area 51.
I mean, well, this one sort of is, except it's really boring. I mean, it's...
Where did you watch it?
It's on Netflix or no, I think it was on Amazon Prime. You have to rent it.
Okay.
I mean, it's
paid money for
$4.99. You're not going to get back and you're not going to finish the movie because it is really boring.
I can't believe you paid money for that.
I wanted to know the truth.
Okay.
I had to know. All and right. Also, who's the dude who was in the wrestler? Mickey Rooney, Andy Rooney, one of the Roonies.
Mickey Rooney? I don't know what movie you're talking about. I don't watch anything about sports.
He also was in Iron Man. He played a bad Iron Man.
Robert Downey Jr.
He messed his face up with plastic surgery. Was it the wrestler?
I have no, dude. Do that.
Mickey Rourke.
Yeah, Mickey Rooney was a very old actor. Long time ago.
Mickey Rourke, he did the narration of it. Oh. And half the time he sounds like he's just going off script.
Do you think sometimes when actors get paid to narrate these really awful documentaries, they're just like, whatever, man, it's just easy money.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. I have an acting credit in the same film as Malcolm McDowell from Clockwork Orange.
Yes.
Because they threw money at him and he did a voiceover.
No way.
Yeah. Yes, it takes 2 hours in the studio. You record something and you get paid.
Do you think he takes whomever does these jobs, they take their friends out to the bar and is like, oh, let me tell you what I did for 2 hours today.
Yeah, totally. I mean, it's such easy money. But yeah, anyway, don't watch Bob Lazar, but you should.
No,
it's
don't
so
watch
boring.
It. No, save your money.
But it's like, it's interesting.
Watch the Fire documentary instead.
Yeah.
Have you been to Trader Joe's recently?
Yeah, love it.
The happiest place on earth.
The happiest place on earth.
I'm really obsessed with the new cauliflower gnocchi.
What?
I know. That's what I, when I was in the store, I did one of these like, whoa, whoa, what? Like,
is it in the frozen food section?
It is in the frozen food section. It's dairy free. It's wheat free. Whoa. I believe it's gluten free also. It tastes like real gnocchi.
Bull-
It doesn't taste like cauliflower.
Because I had some of their riced cauliflower and I just couldn't even handle it.
Yeah, the riced cauliflower, it needs to be with something else. And I often pair it with chicken and you don't eat chicken. Oh, so I can see where that might be problematic for you. But the frozen cauliflower gnocchi is the bomb.com, man.
I'm going to get it tomorrow.
I mean, really, most of the time, gnocchi is about texture. And the texture of this is really good.
It's tough.
Yeah, if you buy Trader Joe's cauliflower, the gnocchi cauliflower, fry it up. Okay. Just like make the pan really hot, put a little bit of oil in there, and that's how you do it.
Okay.
But it's light and fluffy like regular gnocchi is.
I love a gnocchi.
Yes.
And
it's like biting into a little pillow.
A little pillow covered in sauce.
Sauce, like a vehicle of delicious sauce pillow.
And if that sauce is cheese, mm-hmm. I had like a gnocchi with the cheese. Mm. I was like, I'm turning into like Cardi B. I was like, you know, I had like a gnocchi with the cheese. It was so good. Yeah. I'm really excited to try this. Thank you for the recommendation.
Yeah, I freaking love Trader Joe's.
Yeah, they're great.
I went there yesterday before. We were supposed to get this snowstorm in New York City.
That
never happened.
Nope.
And I went to Trader Joe's to stock up on a few things before my friends came over and it was cleared out. Cleared out. Hoboken, New Jersey. There was not a single frozen pizza in the entire place.
Yeah. Does the Hoboken Trader Joe's, does the line go around the store?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. The line was out the door the other day. There was not a strawberry in the entire place.
It's crazy. Like going home to the Midwest, Trader Joe's lines are, they're long, but they're handleable because the space is bigger. But like here in New York, I go to two different ones. I go to the one at Union Square and I go to the one on 23rd.
Yeah.
And like, there are lines around the store. So when you walk in, you immediately run into someone who's in line for the checkout.
Yes.
Because it's so busy.
But you know what? The people who are running the checkout counters at some of these Trader Joe's stores that are so popular, it's a well-oiled machine.
They're like air traffic
controllers.
They got
the paddles up and they've got the numbers. Yeah, there are air traffic controllers.
They're happy. They're always happy.
They are.
I think they pump something into
the air vents. I heard that working at Trader Joe's is actually like quite a wonderful place to work and the benefits are great and they're really good to their employees.
I hope so.
Three times a year, I threatened to my husband, I'm going to quit my job and just work at Trader Joe's.
I just really like the tropical theme, Neil.
Oh man, and they've got the seltzer with like ginger and lemon juice in it. Oh man, so good.
God, their seltzer, 89 cents for like a giant thing.
I love it. I would like to spend a night in Trader Joe's.
I bet they'd let you. Is that what you learned this week? No. No. They're gnocchi.
Bethany, what did you learn this week?
I learned this week that the thing that you're putting off, man, if you just did it, you would be happy so much faster because mm-hmm. you'd get the benefits so much faster.
I'm not convinced.
Here's the deal. And this is not an ad for SodaStream. You guys know I just love sparkling water. And my SodaStream broke because it was like 7 years old.
And also you probably abuse it. You make twice the amount of seltzer as like a normal human.
Yeah, I was putting it way
thrice
too much to work.
The amount of seltzer as a normal human.
Yeah, easily. So they have this trade-up program where you send it your old one and they'll send you a new one for like a percentage off.
Interesting.
So I just kept not sending in my old one because it's hard to mail things, especially when they're big things.
I hate dropping things off at the post office.
Well, and like we have stamps.com and like even if I package it myself, I'm still just too lazy to walk down the stairs or find a box. Like I'm just too lazy.
Yeah.
I finally did it. I finally sent it in and then I was too lazy to call them and order my new one because I'm lazy. So there was like months and months and months that I was not doing this, not getting the water I wanted, spending too much money on water that I didn't want to be buying anyway. I finally ordered it within days. I had my new one.
Yep.
I'm the happiest girl. And it just showed me like I could have been this happy 3 months ago if I just gotten my crap together and done it. And it would have taken me maybe an hour total. Just do the thing.
Just
and then
get
you
it done.
Get the benefits of the thing way faster. And it's probably going to save you money. What'd you learn this week, Kathleen?
So I've talked about this on the podcast before, that Netflix show Salt, Fat, Acid, Heat.
Yes.
With Samin Nosrat.
Yes.
Love her. So I learned this thing in her last episode, Heat. I hate buying parsley or, I don't know, cilantro or mint just for it to go bad 2 days later.
Yes.
So this is what you do. I had this old glass jar that I used to put flowers in. It was a makeshift vase. I got it from Target a few years ago. Anyway, Samin Nosrat taught me this in the episode of Heat. You cut the ends off of the herbs that you're buying.
Okay.
Put a little bit of water in whatever jar you're using. So mine was like two mason jars stacked on top of each other. That was the height of it. You cut the ends of the herbs, put the herbs in, and then on the top of it, just wrap like a paper towel loosely and secure it with a rubber band. And 2 weeks later, my cilantro is still looking fresh as hell.
What? what?
Fresh AF.
It's unfortunate that it's cilantro. No. Because it tastes like soap. But that's
cilantro
amazing.
Is delicious.
Wait, so it's, do you wet the paper towel or dry paper
towel?
No, no, no.
So put a little bit of water in the bottom of the glass jar.
Yeah.
Then cut the ends off of your herbs. Put your herbs in the jar.
Yes.
Then over the top of the jar, just a dry piece of paper towel over the mouth of the jar. And then just secure it with a rubber band. So there's still airflow in and out.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But you're, you know, you're keeping it crusty free from whatever else is in your fridge.
That's amazing.
And yeah, put it in the front of your fridge because okay. It might get too cold in the back. It might freeze back there. But yeah, my cilantro is still looking really good 2 weeks later.
That's the thing, is it's so frustrating to buy food.
For it to just go bad.
Yeah, that's like fresh food. The place I used to get salads all the time closed, and mm-hmm. I don't make salads at home because I buy lettuce and then the next day the lettuce is like, no, no more. I want to die.
Yeah, or the FDA is like, do not eat this.
Yeah, it's going to kill you. Like either way, you're going to die.
Yeah. Like so, that romaine, just don't do it.
And now it's like, it's not basil. It's, what's the one that's round with a stick? It's a base of a salad. It's round. It's like a
arugula.
Nope. It's like an oval.
Watercress.
Nope. It's a green.
Spinach, baby spinach.
Spinach.
You
spinach?
Really? You couldn't think of the word spinach?
I don't think is it spinach?
Baby spinach is round with a stem.
I think that's on the dirty 30 list this year.
Really? Yeah, spinach often is. You have to. I always buy my greens organic just because I'm afraid of getting sick.
Yeah, you don't want someone peeing on your greens.
I'm like R. Kelly.
Oh, God.
Too soon.
Too soon. Thank you so much for listening to this week. We love you and appreciate you so much. Follow us on social media. Kathleen, where can we find you?
I'm Webgirl Kathleen on everything.
I'm Radio Bethany on Twitter. Ms. Bethany Watson on everything else.
If you want to follow us on Twitter, follow us at Acquired Podcast.
On Instagram at Acquired Taste Podcast.
On Facebook, Acquired Taste Podcast.
You can send us an email. We would love to hear from you. An Acquired Taste Podcast at gmail.com.
And if you'd like to send us some snail mail, you can reach us at an Acquired Taste Podcast, P.O. Box 1717, Hoboken, New Jersey 07030.
Also, we would love it if you haven't done this already, if you could go to iTunes or wherever you listen to us and rate, review, and subscribe. 5 stars is the most helpful, but really we just want our name to get out there more, and it helps push us up in the ratings, and that's like the biggest way you could help us out. That
would
be great.
We would be forever grateful. And we're going to do something a little bit different this week. We're going to play you out.
Yes, this is a really good idea that Kathleen had. We're going to start playing some of the voicemails that you've left us.
Yeah, so a couple of weeks ago we got a Google Voice voicemail number, and we've been getting some really amazing calls lately. A lot of them are congratulating Bethany on finally getting a boyfriend.
Which, by the way, I just want to make it clear. Women can be single and perfectly fine. I was not trying to get a boyfriend.
Oh, okay, shove it.
You
got a boyfriend.
I just don't want people to think that this is like such a big deal. It's just more like it's nice to find someone who is like you.
Okay.
Okay. Is that clear?
Whatever.
Have we made that perfectly clear? If you want to call us, you can call us at 917-994-0353. This is your weekly reminder to take a deep breath.
That was so lovely, Bethany. Thank you.
Thank you, Kathleen.
All right. We're going to play you guys out with your voicemails.
Oh, my gosh, Bethany. Congrats on finding love. I am a listener from the beginning. I just wanted to say I did a little stalking, and I found the guy that Bethany's dating. I actually didn't take that much stalking. She posted a picture of it. But anyway, I went on his podcast, and I'm listening to the one titled Bethany Watson, and I feel like I am a fly in the wall on your first date.
Hi, ladies. It's Shandon, and I just wanted to call and let you guys know how thankful I am for you guys having this platform and using it to connect us all to each other and all other taste buds. The fan group is amazing.
Hey, Kathleen and Bethany. This is Chris from Austin. I wanted to call in to weigh in on the great butt blister debate of 2019. Now, Kathleen, you got to meet the guy halfway, man. You got to at least take a shower before you ask him to blow on your butt blister. You got to meet him halfway. Now, on the other hand, husband boy Neil just has to pucker up and blow.
Hi, girlfriends. I just wanted to call and let you know that this is the coolest idea ever, and you guys bring so much happiness to my day once a week. I wish you guys could do it every single day of the week.
Hi, ladies. This is Margaret. I'm a longtime listener, first-time caller. I'm reaching out from Colorado. I just needed to call because I'm having a really hard time transitioning back to work after having my baby. I wasn't expecting to have a child anytime soon, but surprise, it happened, and it's been the greatest thing ever. But now, going back to work and being a full-time mom and being a full-time employee, it's really challenging.
Hi, ladies. My name is Caitlin, and I live in Lancaster, Pennsylvania. Congrats, Bethany, by the way, on your new relationship. I was listening to the last podcast and how you were sharing the Cosmo article about getting stuck in the dick's hand, which I thought was hilarious. I was reaching out for some advice. I have a close friend who's been best friends of mine for a few years now. We just became friends instantly and got really, really close. She recently met a guy, and that kind of put a halt to our friendship.
Hi, this is Christine, a taste bud from Baltimore, Maryland. I'm just calling to let Bethany know that you can use Expo markers on mirrors and then just erase them off. Because when I heard that she's using lipstick, first of all, that sounds really messy and hard to get off. And second of all, if you're buying your lipstick where you should be buying your lipstick, that sounds like an expensive endeavor. So go to the dollar store, pick up some Expo markers, and then just wipe it away. You're welcome.
Hey, ladies. Love you guys. This is Courtney from Lancaster, Pennsylvania. I woke up fit today. It might be Friday for you, but it's Monday for me, and I pretty much want to die. But I'm listening to your latest podcast, and I got literally the biggest pink drink that Starbucks has to offer. So tell myself it's going to be a good day, and hopefully I don't cry in the bathroom at work today. Love you, ladies. Bye.